We gather in the Lord's house this day to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has prepared our hearts and minds to worship.
Judges. And so each Wednesday night, we're
The Old Testament Book of Judges, Mount study will take up place over many weeks, starting next Wednesday at 6:30 on Facebook Live. You can also go to our website and the study guides, and that's each week will be found there. So join us by that medium to join us for that study. The name of that study is called Here Comes the Judge. So each week we'll be looking at one of the judges found in the Old Testament Book of Judges. Thursday morning, each Thursday morning, we gather for prayer with a group called the Prayer Pack. Each week we can meet at 9 a.m. to gather for prayer. We pray for our church family, go over some of the prayer needs within our church family. We talk about those prayer needs and pray for also prayer needs in our community. We've also heard that the 9 o'clock time period doesn't always work for everybody in our church family. So we have actually decided to push that time back a little bit. So starting this Thursday, the prayer pack is going to start meeting at 11 a.m. So that is going to be a time change. We're going to start this Thursday at 11 o'clock. So you'll look at the newsletter, it still says 9 a.m. However, we're going to start this Thursday meeting at 11 a.m. For anybody that wants to come for a time of prayer. Prayer is an important part of our Christian walk, Christian discipleship. So please join us starting this Thursday at 11 a.m. For the prayer pack. Come for a time of prayer. We usually meet the fellowship hall for weather nights. Sometimes we meet outside. But starting at 11 a.m. this Thursday, prayer pack will be at 11 a.m. Now, next Sunday, two things that I want to mention about next Sunday's worship time. The first thing is, each month we try to do some kind of gathering for our missions pantry. Next Sunday, we will be doing a food gathering for our pantry here at First Baptist Eglon. Over the last couple of weeks, we've actually had 3 or 4 families that have come and need their food here at First Baptist Eglon. And so next Sunday, we'll be doing a food gathering for our pantry here at First Baptist Eglon. On your bulletin this morning, you'll see some of the items, specific items, that we need in our food pantry desperately. Those items include cereal, peanut butter, canned food, canned check with our meat items, like quick meal items, and like snack items, like crackers, individual goldfish items, or even snack food items. Those are some things that our pantry are eating. Some individuals have multiplied items this week, last week, but next Sunday we'll have a basket outside of the Lord here for our indoor worship service. At the outdoor worship, we'll have baskets outside at our outdoor worship service. Or you're welcome to bring by items this week. Just drop them by the church office and we'll place those in our pantry. But next Sunday will be the collection day for items for our church pantry. But we'll ask them to do this. That'll be our monthly missions gathering for the month of September. Also next Sunday, immediately following our outdoor worship service, we are going to have a quick special call at UN Roundtable meeting to vote on our deacons for this upcoming year. The deacon nominating team has identified 3 new deacons for this upcoming year, and we need to vote on those deacons. So immediately following the outdoor worship service, we're going to vote on those deacons. Now, for those that are coming to our indoor worship service, what we're going to say is if you want to come to that roundtable meeting, if you want to come for the last 5 minutes of the outdoor meeting, just come at 10:30. You can just pull in the upper parking lot and we'll have spaces available for you. That roundtable meeting will take all of about 5 minutes, is my guess. Come to the outdoor, that new roundtable meeting. We'll have that roundtable meeting and then we will have our normal indoor worship service like we normally do. But that will take place immediately following the Elon Roundtable, the outdoor worship service, and it will be a really quick Elon Roundtable meeting next Sunday morning, immediately following the outdoor worship service. So we're saying right at 10:30 outside after the outdoor worship service. So that will take place next Sunday. Now, we've heard you talk about at the beginning about the mountain top. Let's worship this morning. So, join us in the time of worship and praise. As we said last Sunday, we'll stand and kind of hum or sing softly in the mass as our worship team leads us in worship this morning.
Let's stand and let's sing. Bless the Lord. Bless His holy name.
Let's go. Intimately. From everlasting to everlasting, you are Lord. You are merciful and gracious to us every single day. You're slow to anger and abound in steadfast love, even when we don't even deserve it. You forgive all our sins, all our iniquities, and you heal our diseases. You redeem our lives from the pit, even when we think we deserve to be there. You crown us with your steadfast love and mercy. You satisfy us with good and renew our youth like the eagles. We come before you today, Father, in this place with thanksgiving, with words that we sing, with prayers that we offer, with acts that we give you, Father, and we offer each one of those as a sacrifice of praise this day. And with everything, this is what we give to you as an offering. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. We bless your holy name, because that is what true worship is. Father, that is why we're here. That is why we've come. That is what you deserve. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
In Isaiah 58:11, it tells us, the Lord will guide you always. Doesn't that give you great strength and courage, knowing that he always guides you? Our auditory hymn this morning is, Guide Me, O Thou Great Shepherd. Let's stand and worship the Lord.
Midst of the COVID pandemic, The church council and staff realized that homecoming this year could not look the same as we have had years in the past. After careful discussion and some hard work by some of our ministry teams, and we have a plan to both honor our heritage, our stand celebrating God's ministry through both worship and enjoy fellowship with our church family this year after our Sabbath healing. So on Sunday morning, October 11th, which will be our 72nd anniversary, our 72nd homecoming here at First Baptist Elon, we will celebrate homecoming with praise, prayer, scripture, and our presence that morning. That morning, we will have one worship service here at First Baptist Elon. We will have an outdoor worship service at 10 a.m. that morning. We will stream that service on Facebook Live. And for our church members who do not feel comfortable gathering outside for worship at 10 o'clock, we are going to stream the worship service inside here in the sanctuary. So the service will be on the screens here in the sanctuary. This is something we have not done before. It's going to be a little bit different. So we'll be able to gather here for those that feel comfortable. We can't reverse it. We can't do the service in here and stream it outside, because we can't stream the service outside because of the technology issues. So the service will be outside at 10 o'clock that morning on October 11th. We'll stream the service onto the screens in here for that morning worship service at 10 o'clock. After the service at 10 o'clock that morning, we will have a picnic lunch, a homecoming picnic lunch on the grounds here at First Baptist Field. We can't do our traditional cover dish lunch like we normally do. That's just not safe at this time. And while we will miss the normal home cooking that everybody usually brings, we just don't want to do that this year. That would not be the safest thing. So what we're going to do is we're going to cater lunch that day. With a boxed lunch from It's All Good Southern Kitchen. So what you will be receiving with your lunch that day is a sandwich lunch, a side item, a cookie dessert, and a drink. The cost for the lunch that day will be $7. And that is you can't go out to lunch and eat for $7 anywhere these days. So what you'll be receiving this week in the mail is a letter from First Baptist Church of Ely that has a promotion for homecoming. It'll tell you about the service, it'll tell you about how we're going to, the service will be, where it'll be, how we're going to screen the service, and all the fun stuff like that. And there will be in that letter will also be a note card with your lunch order on. It'll have two options for a sandwich, two options for a side item, and it talks about the dessert choice and everything like that. What we need for you to do is this. If you're planning to come for homecoming this year and you want lunch, we need you to return that card with a self-addressed envelope that will be in that letter as well, with your order back to us by Wednesday, September 30th. The reason why we need it back by then is we have to get the order to the company that we're getting the catering box lunch for. Okay? If you have any questions about what I just shared, it'll be all in the letter. But if you have any questions about homecoming, talk to myself, or talk to Gay, or you can talk to Station Runner, who's in charge of the food aspects of the meal for that day. But we're hoping that this will be one way that we can continue to have homecoming, be able to honor our heritage here at First Baptist Elon, celebrating 72 years of ministry here at First Baptist Elon. It'll just be in a different way. Again, we're trying to make sure everybody's able to celebrate. We will eat outside. If that's an issue with eating outside, we will have a few tables set up inside to keep cool as well. But it will be a way of celebrating the homecoming this year at First Baptist Elon. Now, as we come to the time of the service where we have a blessing or a prayer over our offering, again, we have the offering placed at the and came in, if you pass by the offering place and you didn't have a chance to drop it off again, that's okay. As you leave the service today, you can drop it off again as you leave this morning. Let's have a special prayer for the offering that we brought today. Let's pray. Patient Lord, you amaze us each and every day with both your ability to understand and forgive us. And Father, you display not just your merciful acts upon us, but also your willingness to be patient with us when we decide to not listen. But Father, most importantly, you teach us to be good stewards of the blessings that you bestow upon us. And you show us mercy and grace on a daily basis. And Father, as we come to you at this time, as we return a portion of those offerings to you, may you transform those offerings beyond what we can possibly begin to see. And use those in ways that we can't begin to imagine. Multiply those gifts in a way that can reach people that maybe we don't even know the names of, the ways that you do, and ways that you can share those in ways beyond that our church can begin to imagine. Father God, we give you thanks, and we pray that these offerings will continue to build your kingdom on this earth. We pray this in the name of the one who teaches us what true giving is all about, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
In just a minute, you're going to see a video up on the screen. In the early service outside, Lakes and Lindsay sang a song called Waymaker. And so Lindsay, when he came here to practice, I videoed him in here. And so I apologize right now to you. You're going to hear me say two words in the video. I didn't realize I was talking. And so I apologize now that you're going to hear my voice twice in the video. And so I hope you'll enjoy it. We started practicing about 3 months ago on this song. Did a great job this morning outside, and he does a great job on this video. So sit back and enjoy.
Sorry.
Thank you.
here just remind you of how we are challenged to use the gifts that you have blessed us with. Thanks to you, use the gift of music, the gift of worship, the gift of voice that you blessed us with to share it with us and share it with the world. And we were blessed by it, and we look forward to how he will continue to use that gift for many years to come. And to turn to your word this morning, we'll be reminded of how another young boy used what he was given, what he was blessed with. Turn it to you, and how you turned it into something incredible, something extraordinary. Father, that's what you challenge us with every single day. Are we going to return it to you? Are we going to give it to you? Now, you take that question. Word of this day, to this time of service this day. Christ's name we pray. Amen. Good morning again, and thank you for once again joining us for worship this morning. It is good to gather as the body of Christ in this place and to worship on the Sabbath day. It is good to gather in the sanctuary this morning, and for those that are gathering via Facebook Live this morning, we hope that you have been blessed by our worship this morning so far, and it's good to be led to worship by Dave and Leslie and Pam and Bert, and this morning by Langston outside, and Langston by our video this morning. We look forward to how Langston is continuing to share his gift of music in many years to come. And it was a special blessing to have him leading in worship this morning. This morning we are continuing our sermon series that we began last week titled Ordinary to Extraordinary. As we look at individuals from Scripture and how God transformed individuals or circumstances or situations that seemed ordinary to just the human eye and made them extraordinary in the hands of God. Last week we looked at Esther. We looked at that Old Testament story. And this week we're turning to the gospel story. And this week we're going to look at an individual we don't even know his name, a young boy we don't even know his name. But sometimes in life, we have grown accustomed to overlook things. We get in a hurry, or we get tired, or we view things, some things, as just insignificant. Whatever the case may be, sometimes our vision is no longer captured by what others may see as valuable. For example, I came across on the internet, it was in the story of a magazine about a runner, a guy who runs, jogs, or exercises. His name is Craig Dawson. Mr. Dawson, like any other runner that we see outside, it's funny, as I was sharing the story about 10 minutes earlier outside, somebody just run by exercise, which was a great illustration. Mr. Dawson runs the streets on a daily basis or weekly basis just for exercise to maintain his health. We see this every day in your neighborhood or when you drive the streets, he does this. And Mr. Dawson, as he jogs the streets in his hometown in Illinois, he commonly keeps an eye on the road in front of him, And we might think, well, that's what any smart jogger should do, right? Keep your balance, safety, don't want to run into a car. That's not smart to do. Or maybe just because he's shy and he doesn't want to catch an eye of another jogger, doesn't want to start any kind of conversation, he wants to stay on his path. But that's not why Mr. Craig Dawson, keeps his eye on the road. Because over the last 25 years, as Mr. Craig Dawson has been running, he has collected over $18,000 in spare change as he has been running. That's right. $18,000 worth of pennies, nickels, dimes, and quarters, all from running the roads in Illinois. Now, we might be thinking, that's pretty good. Yeah, he stopped a lot on his jobs and his running. He's really getting a lot of exercise. Or is he running a couple steps, stopping, picking something up, running a couple more steps? But the point is this. What other people have overlooked, probably even stepped over, probably even discarded because they didn't see it as valuable, or driven over probably hundreds and hundreds of times, Mr. Dawson has seen value in it. He's seen value in it. The same can be said about the story that we're going to read this morning and the situation of this gospel account that we're going to read from the Gospel of John. It's a story that we are all probably really familiar with. We probably heard it early growing up in our Sunday school classes as a child. It is a story that we all know. But we often don't focus on the character, the individual that we're going to look at this morning. We all know the feeding of the 5,000. We all know that great story of Jesus feeding the hungry on the mountainside. But if we ever take a moment to think about the boy who provided for him, a need, an opportunity emerged to both physically and spiritually feed a hungry crowd. And while many of the disciples saw this as an impossible task and overlooked something that seemed quite ordinary, Jesus took the faithful offering of a lunch from a young boy and turned it into something extraordinary. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 6, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 14 this morning. And the words will be on the wall behind me. You can follow along with me as I read this morning. And just to set the scene, Jesus has been traveling all up and down along the Jordan River. And as he's been traveling, he's been performing many signs and healings and miracles as he's been traveling. He's healed a lame man in Jerusalem. He's healed a government official's son, along with preaching to crowds, including Jewish officials, Samaritans, and all who were listening. So as he's been doing this, crowds are starting to gather wherever he and the disciples travel. So wherever he's going, people have been coming. He and the disciples can't go anywhere without great crowds coming where he is. And many of them are coming to see which sign or which miracle he is going to be presenting next. What is he going to do next? Now, you might be saying, is that why you should be following Jesus? Well, we're looking 2,000 years later, but that's why they're coming. Jesus has just proclaimed that he is God's son. And he's sharing that John the Baptist has been sent as the proclaimer, as the testifier to the truth of who Jesus really is. That brings us to John chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias.
And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he had already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, eight months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one that I buy." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them, who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all that had enough to eat, he said to the disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come to the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. You see, to the human eye, we may see a problem. To God's eyes, he sees an opportunity. That's what Jesus saw. You see, Jesus and the disciples have been traveling for some time, and they were tired. We all get tired. Jesus and the disciples were tired. They had been performing miracles and teaching over and over and over again. And it's only natural to get tired and need a break. And that's what they were looking for. But the crowds kept coming. Jesus' popularity was growing. And wherever he went, the crowds gathered. It was no different as he journeyed near Bethsaida with the disciples. Thousands came from the town to see what miracle Jesus was going to perform on the sick next. As the crowds gathered miles outside the city, and many estimate probably about 9 or 10 miles outside of Bethsaida, Jesus realized that they did not have the means, either financially or the resources physically, to provide food for the thousands. Now, it says in the scripture about 5,000 men. Notice that. 5,000 men. So the crowd there was estimated a lot more than 5,000. The estimate actually is probably closer to between 15 and 20,000 that day. Because we're not talking about women and children, too. So even the young boy that we're talking about for a second was not counted in that count. So let's say 20,000. That were gathered on that mountain that day. So as Jesus is looking at that crowd, he saw that they didn't have the resources that they needed to feed the crowd. Or did he? Did Jesus know? Did Jesus, in his sovereign divine wisdom, no. Now, we can be sure that the disciples did not know. When the disciples looked out at the crowd, they knew that they didn't have what they needed. They saw the numbers, and they saw the problem. Jesus even asked Philip. And you might be saying, why would he point out Philip? You see, Philip was from Bethsaida. Philip was the one from the town 9 miles away. Jesus asked Philip because he was the hometown boy. So if anybody in the group that was there knew where to get the food, it would be Philip. So Jesus asked Philip, "Philip, where are we going to get food? How are we going to provide for this group?" So if any of the disciples had the answer, Philip would be the one. As Philip gets that question, he immediately starts calculating in his mind, well, Walmart's about 15 miles away. There's no way we can get enough bread at Walmart. Well, the Target's over there. No, that's not what Philip is answering in his mind. Well, Walmart and Target is. Even Walmart and Target didn't have enough bread and fish for the 20,000 people in the crowd. Philip immediately knew there wasn't enough to feed this crowd. He knew, identified the problem, and he said, "Jesus, we don't have enough money to feed this crowd. We don't have enough." And so, he said, "We don't have enough money," and just like the other disciples, they focused on the problem, and he, along with the other disciples, wanted to send the crowd home. But Jesus saw an opportunity. Jesus saw an opportunity, not a problem. An opportunity to feed, not just physically feed, but spiritually feed the crowd and his disciples too. While the disciples were focusing on the problem, Jesus saw an opportunity and he was waiting for someone to step up and offer what they had. To simply offer what they had. Now steps in the boy. You see, God wants us to be willing to offer our ordinary daily possessions and allow him to use them in extraordinary ways. Of the disciples who saw something in the crowd that day, Andrew noticed the young boy. You see, Andrew is rarely mentioned in the Gospels. In the Gospel of John, Andrew was only mentioned 3 times. And the 3 times that Andrew is center stage in the Gospel of John, he is introducing someone to Jesus. And in this case, he's introducing a young boy, again, we don't even know his name, to Jesus. Who knows? This young boy could have been the same age as Branson. We don't know the age. But what we do know is this. Andrew introduced this young boy to Jesus the Messiah. Now, some might argue, now what did this boy really do? Now, what did he really do? Jesus is the one who performed miracles. Jesus is the one to turn the loaves and the fish into feeding the 20,000. But you see, the young boy in the story saw or heard the need. Maybe by listening to the disciples talking, watching Jesus, because I guarantee that's why he was there that day. He was watching Jesus to see what he was doing. And as he heard or as he saw Jesus acting, he looked in his hands, his young hands, and he saw his lunch. 5 loaves and 2 fish. Who knows who packed that lunch that day? Maybe he packed that lunch that day. Maybe his mom or his dad packed that lunch that day. Who knows? Maybe that was all the food he had for that day. Who knows? Maybe that's all the food he had for a couple days. But what we do know is this. He saw what was in his hands. Maybe he had words echoing through his mind from his mom. Don't forget to take the food with you. Don't forget to take your lunch with you. Maybe you've echoed those words to your kids, your grandkids before. Or share your food with your friends. If they forget their lunch today, maybe you said those words before. We don't know the circumstances. What we do know is this. He was in a crowd of thousands. He knew that in order
very lunch that he was holding in his hands could not possibly feed 20,000 people in his hands. But in the hands of Jesus the Messiah, the one he had come to see that day, the one he had heard about had done incredible things. Maybe his lunch in his hands could possibly be something extraordinary. And that's what he did. And Jesus used the ordinary lunch that the young boy gave. Jesus knew what the young boy was going to give that day. Jesus knew that's all he needed. This is what he wants from us too. I'm sure that the boy that day might have had some hesitancy as he offered his lunch up. He may have felt small and insignificant. Even Andrew, as he brought the boy up to Jesus, even says in verse 9, here's this boy and his lunch, but what are these for so many people? Even Andrew said that. We might feel that same way about our daily, ordinary offerings to God. But that is the thing about God. In Jesus' hands, nothing is insignificant. Nothing is ordinary, not even 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish in the hands of Jesus. And the fact is, we are living in a hungry world that needs our offerings of ordinary to be transformed into extraordinary. We are in a world that needs that. I'm pretty sure that the boy was not the only one that brought food in that crowd today. 20,000 people, and the boy was the only one that brought his lunch that day? You ever thought about that? There wasn't anybody else offering up their lunch, but there was only one boy, and that's all that Jesus needed. Jesus stands on the edge of this hungry world. He is moved by compassion for those that are both physically hungry, literally physically hungry, but are more spiritually hungry than anything. He is ready for the church, that's you, that's me, to step up and ready to offer our lunch, our daily offerings of our lives, our gifts, our talents, for him to use in extraordinary ways. We don't have to be extraordinary. We just have to be ordinary in the hands of God. Yet, the fascinating piece of this story that we often overlook is this. What happened after everyone got their fill of their food? After everyone had eaten all that they possibly wanted, what happened to the leftovers? After they finished eating, the disciples picked up all the leftovers that they needed out of the leftover bread. And it said that they filled 12 full baskets of fragments from the barley loaves that were left over. 12 baskets full. I often wonder what happened to those 12 baskets of bread. You ever think about that? What happened to those 12 baskets of bread? Did Jesus and the disciples take it with them? You know, they went across the water, the sea, right after the story. Did they take it with them to the birds as they went across the sea? One's off.
Did Jesus put aside to stay with them because oftentimes as they traveled, they didn't have food with them. They would have to gather food from place to place as they continued their ministry quest. Did they take it with them? Another thought. Did Jesus, the disciples, out of the 20,000 that were there in that crowd, did they identify the hungriest that were there, the poorest in the crowd, and distribute the food to the poorest? Possibly. Well, here's another thought. Maybe, just maybe, Jesus and the disciples gave the 12 baskets back to the boy. And giving it back to the boy, he took it back home with him. And they told him, go tell your parents about your experience today with Messiah. Share your story of your encounter with Jesus, the Messiah, this day. Making sure you promise to continue to share your bread with the others that are in need, the same way you did this day when you helped feed the 20,000. The day Jesus helped you be transformed from the ordinary to the extraordinary. We don't know the answer to that story. Just something to chew on today as you go home. But the challenge from this story is this. He is ready to use us the exact same way that he used that young boy in that crowd today. Because our hands are right here. And whatever is sitting in our hands on whatever given day, God is ready to use them. And if our hands are empty, guess what? He's ready to use our hands. This day, or the next, or the next. Let's pray. Father God, we are amazed at how when we see problems, you see opportunity. We are amazed at how you take what we see as ordinary things and you transform them into extraordinary tools to build your kingdom. You fed 20,000 that afternoon just from the simple offering of a young boy. May we have the encouragement and the faith and the willingness to give just like that young boy did that afternoon. And may we not hold back thinking, oh God, I'm not extraordinary, because it's not about us being extraordinary. It's about you using us and you making us extraordinary. Father, may we use that Bible each and every day of our lives. That is the challenge. That is our goal. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So come this time of our closing hymn. Maybe today you've been challenged by Jesus. Maybe you haven't accepted him as your Lord and Savior. Maybe today is the first time your eyes have been opened to who he truly is, the Messiah. Today's the day. I'll be down front. Don't hesitate. Come down front and meet me, and I'll pray with you. And and today will be a day of celebration. Maybe you're looking for a church home or a home that you feel like this can be a place where you can see how God will continue to use you to do extraordinary things to build his kingdom. First Baptist Church, we want to be that home for you. We will embrace you. We will love you. We will continue. to work alongside of you for many years to come. Or maybe today is the day that you realize that maybe you've been holding back. Maybe today is the day that you recognize, you know what, I've been holding back for too long. I've been waiting to be extraordinary, and you recognize, you know, God, that's not what you want me to be. You just want me to be open and willing. This is God's altar, it's not mine, and the altar is always open. I'll pray with you if that's what you need this morning. Let's stand and sing for our closing hymn. The altar is always open. Come if God leads you. Let's sing together.
Take my life and let it be.
Until we gather again. Go in peace.